Father, we thank you for the gifts of your people. We thank you for their generosity. We thank you for the stories we've already heard as we've prayed. And Lord, we pray you multiply these alms and these offerings that we give to you for the furtherment of your kingdom. And we pray now, Lord, also for Paddy as he speaks. Thank you for his great work with Kids Club here in the church. Thank you for being part of the leadership team. And we thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that work through him and in him. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ooh, could turn me down a tad there. Please. Good morning, folks. How are we doing? Good. It's great to see you all this morning. I was really challenged this morning as because I have to practice what I preach. So I had that in mind as we were going through this morning. And John asked me to speak some weeks ago about my father's house is a house of welcome and of witness. And so I had to find somebody I didn't know there at the meet and greet time, and I don't always do that. It's sometimes we have to stretch ourselves, don't we, and push ourselves outside of our comfort zones. But I'm going to get to that in a little bit. And I'm going to read a section just from Acts 1, verse 8, which says, and this is my prayer for us. It's in Acts 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So, this morning, my prayer is that we would receive power from the Holy Spirit, and that we couldn't but tell people, to witness to people about Jesus, about how wonderful he is. That it would be almost something bubbling up inside us that we couldn't help but do. Because sometimes it feels like, we feel like we couldn't say that to somebody, or we couldn't share Jesus with somebody because we'd be imposing upon them. But it's almost like my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would fill us up and excite us so much with the good news and with him, that it'd be something that we couldn't help but do. Come really naturally. The other day I was visiting for Kids Club, as I do. And I was down in Oliver Bond, down the hill here on the right, a big complex there called Oliver Bond. And it's lovely sometimes when I go out visiting, because I get to meet all the families of the kids who come to the church here on a Saturday, the Kids Club. And there's this little girl who came, and she came visiting with me. She's little girl Emily, and she's just so sweet. She wants to help me give out the sheets, and she wants to help me knock on the doors, and and so she was coming around with me, and she was like, I'm going to knock on this door, and can I give the sheets into this letterbox and all of that. And so she was coming along with me, and I met another mum while she was with me, and this other mum, I got talking to her, and I was telling her, she always asks, how's your baby, how's Amelia? And so I was telling her that Amelia's great. She's a year and 8 months now, I think. And she's getting big, and she's running rings around me. And I said, oh, yeah. And I said, by the way, we have another baby due in March. And she was like, oh, fantastic. Congratulations. She says, how long will be between the two babies? And I said, it'll just be over 2 years. And she said, oh, fantastic. That's great. And she said, my two, she's two girls. She said, there's just under a year between them. And the memory verse for the week was encourage each other every day. And I was telling her about how, I was telling her kids how we can, you know, say thanks to our mum for a lovely dinner if she makes a dinner. And it was wonderful because she said, well, my little girl said that to me yesterday. And it was really, it was wonderful to hear that, you know, they are encouraging each other. Anyway, we walked off and Emily's still beside me. And she says to me, so you and Sal are having a baby. I says, yeah, we're having a baby. She said, are you having the baby or is Sal having the baby? And I says, well, I hope it's Sal because I'm not prepared. But anyway, that's nothing to do with my talk. I just wanted to share with you because I love sharing stories, funny stories about what the kids say to me. So the church is to be a place of welcome and witness. And I want to start this morning talking about welcoming. And a few years ago, I went to a church in Dublin. I'm not going to say which one. It wasn't this one. And I went up, and as I went in the door and went into the church, and there's this big guy there, and he gives me a hug on the way in. And I was like, cool, it's really lovely to get so welcomed when you come into a church, you get a big hug. And you know, it wasn't just the first time, the second or the third time that I went there, I got a big hug. And I got to encourage this guy, and I got to say, you know, this is the only church in Dublin that I go to that I get a hug on the way in. Now, over time, that church has grown, and they've acquired a building, and, you know, I've been there more recently, and I haven't got a hug on the way in. And, in fact, there's a big mirror halfway up the stairs on the way in. And anyway, it's still a great church, but I think the challenge for churches in general is as they grow and as they get bigger, the challenge is still going out of a way to make people feel welcome. And keeping that personal touch with each other. You know, we have a welcome team here in the church, and they're fantastic. But, you know, we can't rely on one or two people on a Sunday to welcome newcomers. We're all on the welcome team. That's the truth of it. And, you know, during the meet and greet time, I talked about this. You know, we need to remember to make a special effort to find someone we don't know, or find somebody who's new, and welcome them in. I'm talking to myself here as well, and I know it doesn't come naturally. As I said, it's a difficult thing sometimes, but we need to push ourselves outside of our comfort zones, because not just for the sake of it, but because we want to build a strong community where people find it easy to join. During the week, I was having a look at our website, and there was a lot of stuff about welcome on the website. It's actually central to our vision here in CORE, to welcome the outsider in. In Ephesians 3:6, from the Message version, it says this: the mystery is that people who have never heard of God and those who have heard of them all their lives, what I've been calling insiders and outsiders, stand on the same ground before God. They get the same offer, the same help, the same promise in Christ Jesus. The message is accessible and welcoming to everybody across the board. So I think we need to make a special effort for this to be a reality in our church. I remember when I was 8 years old, I moved to Kerry and went to live with my mum. And I moved, you know, place, I moved school, I was going from living with my dad to living with my mum, and I knew nobody in this new school. But you know what, I'll never forget the first day I was in that school. It was a Catholic primary school. I was a Protestant. They were called, geez, I was the only city boy. I couldn't have been more of an outsider if I tried, you know. But I remember that first break. I don't know, it must have been the teacher said something to the kids before I arrived. But the first break, all of these kids came up to me. Will you play soccer with us? Will you play bird to bird with us? Will you play this with us? I felt like a superstar or something. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I was made feel so welcome when I went there. And it must have been the principal of the school had a word, said something. But it was just an incredible day. So it is possible, truly possible, to welcome the outsider in. It says on our website as well, we want to be a church that welcomes all who come through our door, learning how to show love, hospitality, and acceptance that characterize Jesus' ministry so that those who are on the outside are welcomed in. But you know what? The website is only words. Let's pray that what's written on our website becomes a reality actually here in church. It struck me also when we went through the stuff on the website that there's lots of different ways that we welcome people into the life of this church. There's small groups. I always say this, if you're not part of one, I recommend joining. It's a great way of making friends in this church and growing in your faith as well. Do you know, if somebody's here for the first time, they can fill in a welcome card. There's welcome cards at the back there. And they can be sent information about the church. It's easy to find out what happens in the church if you sign up for a newslink. It's an email that's sent out once a week to people who sign up for it, and they can find out all of what's going on in the church. I've talked about it before, we have a welcome team, especially looking out for new people. Once a term, all newcomers to the church are invited to a welcome lunch. In the houses, we changed it. We're having them in the houses of church members now, which is great. We had one in our house during the summer, and it was a lovely time. It's just more personal, I suppose, when it's in somebody's house, and we can really welcome in the newcomers. Last week, I don't know how many people were at Collide, an event we had here in the church. It was great. It was like a table quiz on steroids, I think. It was fantastic. Wilson was a wonderful quiz master, and we had a great time. But I suppose it would have been wonderful if there was more people here, and if we'd invited all of our friends. It was a great way of inviting people into the church. Not necessarily. They mightn't necessarily come on a Sunday, but they might come for something like that, and it'd be, I suppose, a little cringe. So when I look at all the things we do in the church to welcome people in, we're not doing too badly, you know. We're doing pretty well. We're actually, it's central to our vision to welcome people in. I suppose we just need to make the most of all of these ways of welcoming people in. And we need to be proactive for looking around for new people and helping them to find their place in the church, in the life of the church. Second thing I want to talk about is that God's house is a house of witness. And we're called to be a house of witness. Witness, as I understand it, is it can mean us encouraging each other. And we've already seen that this morning. By witnessing what God has done and what God is doing in our lives and the lives of people around us. And it was just wonderful to hear those few stories of what God is doing. It really encourages us. It's very powerful when people come up and share stories because it really builds up our faith as a church, and we're encouraged then to come up and share our stories as well. But witness is also about going outside of the church with the good news of Jesus. In 1 Peter 3:15 it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And also in Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. This is Paul talking. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And I suppose that's the challenge for each one of us. Is, you know, if we were asked today, if we went out of here and somebody asked us, what does it mean to be a Christian? Or what do you believe? Would we have an answer? Would we have a way of bringing that across, that with gentleness and respect, I suppose? So my next question is, so why do we witness to people? Why is it important? I suppose, first of all, we witness because Jesus told us to. The last thing that Jesus said to the disciples, the Great Commission, was, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. When Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's very encouraging that Jesus promises us he's going to be with us to the very end of the age. Secondly, the news of Jesus that we have is good news. It's let's remember just how good news it is. You know, when we look around at our society, all of these pillars of society, all of these institutions that we've trusted have crumbled one by one. The political institutions, the religious institutions, and just more recently the financial institutions, they've all been shown to be corrupt. People have realized that none of these institutions are trustworthy. There's a hunger out there for something that is genuine, something that won't crumble. And the truth is, there's only one God we can really put our trust in, and the person of Jesus. So I suppose especially now, we need good news. People need good news. They need to know there is someone they can trust. And I suppose we should always also be a witness because people need hope. People need, and Jesus brings that hope. He brings that hope into situations that seem hopeless. In the last while, I don't want to get morbid, but in the last while I've heard of a couple of different stories of 16-year-olds down in Teresa's Gardens who overdosed, died. And a 15-year-old recently, one of our junior leaders' friends, lives in Drogheda, I think, 15-year-old who committed suicide. That speaks to me of a society who's really, there's a lack of hope. And you can't help but wonder what would have happened if these young people had known about Jesus, if they'd kind of, somebody had spoken to them about the hope he brings. I think it's also important to witness because when people accept Jesus, he transforms lives. That's what he does. There's a friend of mine who I was talking to during the week, and he describes himself, his life before he accepted Jesus, as being a butt scratcher. Is it okay to say that, Rob, yeah? He used to just sit on the canal drinking, scratching his butt, basically. This guy wandered into Cork one day, and it was then that God really started working in his life, transforming him from the inside out. And, you know, now he's a spirit-filled Christian. Every time I see him, I'm just amazed. I just, there's an amazing transformation that's gone on there in his life. Next thing I want to talk about is how we witness. There's many different ways that we can witness. Recently, this former butt scratcher, he told me a story of a time when he was wandering around the temple bar. He was listening to his CD player, and he was listening to worship music. And as he was listening, he was worshiping in his heart, and he was really just kind of felt really light, filled with God's presence, filled with God's spirit. And he wandered into a record shop in Temple Bar, and he said the minute he walked in, he knew there was a heavy atmosphere in the place. There was this kind of darkness, or he said the music playing in the record shop was really heavy and dark, and he said, but you know, he just walked in there, and because he was full of God's light and God's presence, he said there was a big kind of almost a scramble around. You know, the guy behind the counter turned off the music that was playing on the system. And the guy was almost looked at him in fear, almost. He was just wandering around looking at CDs. And he went, bought a CD, and this guy almost took the money and just kind of, he seemed almost afraid of him. Now, I know, you know, it's not our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but there was something spiritual going on in that place by him just being in that place of worship and wandering in there. It's almost like God's light filled him, and the darkness that was in there had to retreat. It was like he couldn't help but be a witness, even though he didn't say anything. And there's a book called Promoting the Gospel by John Dixon. And he talks about the many different ways that we can witness to others. It says, you know, the Bible lists a whole range of activities that promote the gospel. These include prayer. John has been talking a lot to us recently about prayer and how everything that we do starts with prayer of significance anyway. You know, Dixon says in his book that praying that your friends and neighbors would come to know Jesus is no less a promotion of the gospel than speaking to them about Jesus. Both activities are evangelistic. Both are needed. I was talking to recently to one of the Kids Club team, and she said, you know, she has a burden for one particular friend, and she said one day she just prayed for a time before she went to meet her, and prayed for her and prayed for their relationship and prayed that God would break in there. And she said it was amazing because this person was full of questions when she met her, full of questions about her faith, full of talk about God and what it is to know him. And she was just amazed at how that came about without her even trying. It was from the prayer that happened beforehand. The list of things, activities that promote the gospel includes godly behavior, you know, financial assistance, tithing and giving, the public worship of God in church, what we've just been doing, and answering people's questions. These are all mission activities, and only a couple of them involve speaking at all. It's obviously important to be open about Jesus in our everyday conversations. But the problem is that those maybe who don't have a flair for speaking can feel they're inadequate. Or those who have the gift of the gab feel like they're fulfilling God's purpose just by talking. So it's important that we remember there are many ways to witness, and words are only one of them. When we witness, we need to be motivated by love. I remember a few years ago, on New Year's Day, went for a walk with some Christians, and I got talking to this lad we were walking with, and he was talking to me about, you know, he was almost like a trainee street preacher. He was going out and he was being trained up by this other guy, and his whole point as he was talking to me was that once he had told people about Jesus, they had no excuse anymore not to believe. So they were basically condemned if they didn't. And I felt that it felt to me that his motivation was all wrong. He was trying to condemn them into heaven. A resounding gong or a clanging cymbal comes to mind when I hear that. You know, if we don't have love, that's all we are. Love and compassion for people must be our motivation for witnessing. Also, in 1 Peter 3:15, it says that when we give a reason for the hope we have, we should do this with gentleness and respect. Last year, I had the pleasure of hearing Fergus Ryan, the leader of Trinity Church. He came to, I was doing a leadership course, an Arrow leadership course, and we were on a residential, and he came to speak to us. And he was talking about a time when he was talking with his leadership team in Trinity Church. And he was asking them, you know, how they see the kingdom of God coming to earth. And they came up with several descriptions. And one of them, I think it was is an evangelist they were talking to, kind of saw the kingdom of God as coming like this picture. It was of a train traveling through the earth. And as the train was traveling through, people were hopping on the train and speeding off to heaven, saying, "Let's get the hell out of here." And he said, as this guy said this to Fergus, he almost had this moment of revelation that it should be exactly the opposite to that. It should be a train traveling through the earth with people hopping off here and working at getting the hell out of here. It's a very different way of looking at it. This is just a reminder that, you know, it's not just about us being saved and going to heaven. It's about making the world a better place by bringing the kingdom of God and caring about people where God has placed us. We should be a witness in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to make a difference. You know, we can try and witness all we want in our own strength, but it's only when we have the power of the Holy Spirit that it's effective. Barry Kissel was talking to us at the conference about, you know, the fact that Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. And if you haven't, if you weren't here at the conference, I recommend downloading the podcast. It was brilliant. It was very good. Especially, well, for me, it was the Saturday that really spoke to me. I think Rob was talking about the Sunday is really good as well. He was talking about fear. And anyway, he was talking about authority and the fact that Jesus has authority over everything on heaven and earth. And we need to remember this when we're talking with people about Jesus, that we have that same power and authority through the Holy Spirit. That the name of Jesus has such power. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, it's Paul says, "Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." So that's really all I had to say this morning. I just want to pray for us now. And I felt just this morning as I was getting ready, that something key that God wants to say to us this morning is in Isaiah 43, verse 10 to 13. It says this, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God." So, Father, I pray this morning that we would be
filled with your Spirit. I pray, God, that we would be filled to overflowing with the good news, God, with your Spirit, that we couldn't but go and tell people. Maybe could we get the worship band up, please? And I'd love to invite anybody forward who really feels a difficulty, maybe, or a hesitance with sharing the gospel, and that we would ask God to fill us with His Spirit. And also, we could come forward and pray for those friends and family of ours that don't know. So maybe just as you're sitting there, you could be thinking of someone. Who needs to know? And we can pray for them. Key to this church's vision is Isaiah 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, if anybody wants to come forward for prayer. We pray that God's Holy Spirit would fill us. We can pray for our friends and family. And pray that God would anoint us to preach good news. Just to share, just to be good news, to be filled with that light as that friend of mine was, that when we go into any situation that we're in, that we would be so filled with God's Holy Spirit and so filled with His light that the darkness would have to retreat, and anywhere we were, that God's light would come.
Conclude our service for this afternoon, and as Paddy has given a great talk there, thank you, Paddy. There is an invitation to be prayed with, and if you're new here this morning, we love to just, as it says in James, pray with each other, and as it says in Timothy, to lay on hands and fan into flame the gift which was imparted to you. So if you would like to receive prayer, we would love to do that with you and for you. If not, the tea and coffee is on the way. Dorothy, our friendly member of the welcome team, will be at the welcome station at the back. So if you're new, you have any questions, we'd love to answer them for you. So a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you've done in our midst on this bank holiday in October. Lord, we pray for our city. We pray for all that you're doing. We pray for our church. We pray for your people who have gathered here this morning. We thank you for what we've heard about being a house of welcome and witness. We thank you for the testimonies we've heard from Gwen and Trish and Margaret and all the other ones that are spoken in our hearts. So bless the people as we leave this morning, and we pray that the peace which surpasses our understanding will fill our hearts and our minds in the amazing knowledge that you love us, you care for us, and you are with us, you are for us, and not against us. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. Okay, folks, have a great bank holiday. Hope you all get on well running the marathon tomorrow, and we'll see you soon. Do come forward for prayer, and we'd love to pray with you. Tea and coffee, welcome desk, and see you all soon. God bless. Thank you.